Well, take your Bibles this morning. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Now, let me just speak to each one of you this morning about I want you to have the attitude of, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. But how do we get there? How do we get to that attitude of total submission? Well, I want you to see in Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 8, and also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send and who shall go for us? Then I said, I, here am I, send me. How do we get to that position? Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, here am I, let me witness to the guy at work. Lord, here am I, help me to be the testimony I should be, wherever it might be, at work, at home, the neighborhood. Lord, here am I. We should have the attitude, Lord, I'll go any place you want me to go. You know, I wish that when we had missions conference, every person here would totally surrender your heart and say, Lord, I'll go if you want me to go. Now, I realize, and you realize, God's probably not going to ask you to go to Australia or New Guinea. But he is going to ask you to say, would you do what I want? Would you let me use you as my servant any way I need? When you're playing chess with someone, each piece is useful for the master's plan. Sometimes a pawn gets sacrificed. Sometimes even a queen gets sacrificed for the sake of checkmate. Well, the Lord is trying to work in people's hearts. And let me ask you this question. If you were the Lord, would you trade a David Pittman that's going to heaven already for someone across the street that doesn't know Christ as Savior and God wants them to be saved? Yes, I would. But you and I as servants have to be willing to say, Lord, here am I. It's a big decision because it'll affect everything that you do. You'll begin to be easy to work with around people. You'll be a pleasant spirit because you're not your own. You're bought with a price and you're a servant. You're a soldier. Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Soldiers don't argue with their colonels or their generals or their sergeants and say, well, you know, I don't want to do that, or, well, I don't feel good this morning. A soldier basically puts themselves at the disposal of their chief, their captain, their whoever it might be. And so the question is, how do we get to this point in our hearts and minds? Well, notice how Isaiah got there. And I want you to see it, just some simple steps to surrender. Notice if you would, number one, you've got to see the Savior. Look if you would in verse one. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. Now, look, you and I have to see him as he is. I think that's very difficult for us as Americans. We have so much. We need so little compared to the rest of the world. Now, we don't look at it that way. We think I need this and I need that. But if you were to trade places with somebody in 80% of the world, we already have more than they do. And so it's a completely different mindset. And so whenever you begin to look at this passage and you begin to say, what is it that I need? Well, I just need one thing. I need to see the Lord as he is. So it affects my heart to surrender. Notice if you would, he said in verse one, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. We need to see him as king. We need to see him as the King of Kings, as our King. We need to see him as sitting on that throne. We're going through the book of Esther, and you remind yourself that there was a rule of law in the court of the king, Ahasuerus' court, of all Persian kings. And the rule of law was that unless you were called, you did not go into the king unless you were willing to sacrifice your life. And most people died if they went in to ask something of the king. And so our king says, I don't want it that way. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. He says, I want you to come to me. Folks, you and I can come to this altar and say, Lord, I want to talk to you. You can be at home and kneel down beside your bed and say, oh, my king, I want to talk to you this morning. And the Lord says, okay, I'm listening. What kind of a privilege is that? But we have to see him as high and lifted up. We have to see him as a king. Someone that is total authority. Is he the total authority in your life? Is he the king in your life? To where you say, Lord, I'm yours. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. But to be able to go in and talk to the king whenever you want to is such a privilege that we as his children don't realize the privilege that is. Do you understand today that Esther had to dress up in her royal apparel and pray and fast for 3 days to go into the king and to stand there and the king hold out his scepter or not, and she died? And you and I, the Lord says, look, you're my child. I want you to come to me. I want you to come to me with confidence because you're important to me. Let us therefore come boldly. It's not arrogantly. It's with confidence that he's willing to listen to me. If you're going to surrender your heart, you got to see him as king. Everybody does. All of us in this room. Is he your king? Now, remember a few things about a king. Let's take just a minute. Name for me some things about a king. If we were a part of a country where there was a king, just give me some ideas, some things about that king. What kind of authority does he have? Total authority. Anything he says goes. Okay? What kind of standing do you and I have before a king? None. We're his servants. We have to look at Jesus Christ as our king. Well, notice what it does. Look with me if you would. I saw also the Lord sitting high upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. We've got to see him in all of his glory. We've got to see him as the king of all kings. When you and I realize who he is, I've said it so often, it's probably something just goes over your head now, but when we see him, we're all going to wish we had done more. We're going to be humbled, face on the floor, and say, oh, if I would have only known. But it'd be too late to do more for Christ. If you're going to surrender to the Lord, you got to see him as king. But you've got to see him as the king that he really is. He speaks and angels are deployed. He speaks and the beasts around the throne, Revelation chapter 4, it's called a beast because John didn't have a word for him. It's something I've never seen, eyes all around. And his sole purpose is to say one word. What is it? Holy. When we see the Lord, we see him as so pure and so clean and so holy that the only word we look at when we see him is not all powerful, but holy. And you know, that's the amazing thing about being a Christian. God makes us holy when we're not. So it ought to be that we ought to turn around and say, Lord, I am yours. We ought to say, Lord, I surrender everything to you. It's just a forgotten term, total surrender. Notice, he's a king. He is high and lifted up. He's the king of kings, and he is holy. He is someone that you and I look at, and it causes something in us. Now, we see the Savior, but it causes something in us. Notice, if you would, he's worshiped by angels. Look in verse 3. One cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. He's a worldwide king. Everybody, one of these days, is going to fall down and worship him. And so whenever the king says to Dave Pittman, Dave Pittman, would you do this? I should say, yes. Would you preach this message? Yes, Lord. Would you go to this home and visit? Yes, Lord. Would you pray for this family? Yes, Lord. Whatever the Lord says, Dave Pittman, do, I am yours, Lord, because I've seen the Savior. Have we all seen him personally? You. Notice, but there's an effect. Notice, if you would, in verse number 5. Then said I, you see the Savior, but you got to see yourself. If you're going to surrender, you have to see yourself first. Notice what he says. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Now this Hebrew word for undone is to be in total destruction before the Lord. Valueless before the Lord. In other words, he doesn't need us. We're totally undone. We're totally without usefulness, totally without the ability to impress the Lord. And so when we see ourselves all of a sudden, then all we have left to say is, Lord, what can I do? But until we see ourselves, we're always going to make our own plans. Our plans and our interests are going to compete with his. Until we see ourselves and see that we're undone. Notice what he says, woe is me. You find woes in the Bible, it's always a cataclysmic event that happens afterwards. In Revelation, there are three woes, and every time something terrible happens to the earth, when it says, woe is woe and woe. And so you'll notice here that he says, woe is me. I am totally useless. When you and I realize that God doesn't need us and we're totally useless, it takes away our pride. And that's the one thing that ruins all of us, is our pride. So not only do we have to see the Savior, we have to see ourselves. We have to see ourselves as useless before the Lord. Do you understand today? He gives us our value. The Lord looks at you and I and says, okay, Dave Pittman, I can use you. That's my value. I'm totally undone without it. Look, all that I could do, if I could build a worldwide, if I could start a new Amazon and become the richest man in the world, what good would that do 1 second past my death? None. And who all's going to get it all? It's going to go to heirs. It's going to go to people behind me. It's going to go to people that didn't earn it, and they're going to use it as a quick inheritance. It's going to get wasted a lot of times. And the bottom line is, what eternal value? So on earth, I had value, but not in heaven. When you see yourself, you realize my only value is in his eyes. Today, have you seen yourself? Do you realize that he gives us value to be able to be a witness? He gives us value. Does he need our tithe money? Adele, does he need our tithe money? No, he doesn't. Does he need our attendance at church? No. It's not going to make heaven better. It's going to make us more useful. That's the reason he gives us things for us to do where we can become a pawn in his hand, or maybe a rook in his hand, or maybe even a bishop in his hand. We can become a castle. We can become something. And as we surrender more and more and more, God, we become more useful and more useful. But many people never get rid of the pride. And they're always saying, well, Lord, I'd go to church, but I got something. I'm preaching in the choir now. I know that. I'd go to church, Lord, but I got this thing I want to do. And Lord, I got some things I got to go. Well, I remember there are people that they don't go to church much now, but they would come in. I'd see the husband come in church on Sunday night, and the wife was shopping for groceries. I said, what is that? Pretty soon, out of church almost. Do you understand that if you and I don't gain our respect and look at ourselves and say, whoa, I am undone. I'm of no value except the Lord gives me value. I know that's not a popular saying today, because all the time on TV, I see commercials of this person say, I was MVP of this, and I started out with nothing, and I did this, and I did that, and you can too. You know what? We look at it and say, so what? If it's valueless, the Lord wants us to see ourselves as undone. And then he says, now I can use you. As a coach, and I started out as a soccer and wrestling coach. As a soccer coach, if I had a guy that would listen, he was very valuable. But if I had a guy that was talented, but he wouldn't listen, he would cost our team every game. And so whenever you're saying, look, I want you to go down the side and cross the ball, and he would try to take the ball into the goal to score himself, and there would be a couple fullbacks, and they would steal the ball, kick it back down. And we'd say, look, pass the ball. Yeah, but I think I'm better than that guy over there, and I think I can score. Until he trusts his teammate and crosses the ball, and somebody over there has a chance to cross the ball over to him, until you begin to work as a team, there's not much chance you're going to win consistently. And so as a Christian, God says, look, how can the kingdom, how can Christianity go forth to the world if I've got wings and defensive men and people that are on my team that say, well, you know, I can't be at the game Friday night. Well, I can come, but I don't want to play your way, Lord. The Lord says, wait until you are undone, and then I can say, would you play here and do this? And he goes, yes, sir. And we become a team. He said, because I have the plan, and it'll work. Have you ever wondered why the world is still lost? Most of the world is lost today. Look at the difference in attitude between the early Christian tonight in the book of Acts, chapter 4, and Christians today. Excuse me. The Christians back then, they took all their wealth and sold it and put it in a pot and said, Lord, you can have whatever you want with it. Now, the Lord doesn't ask us to give everything, but they were so dedicated, nothing mattered to them other than getting people to Jesus Christ, telling people how wonderful Jesus Christ was, because he totally changed their lives. Notice, if you would, he saw himself as ruined. He saw himself as unclean. Notice, if you would, in verse number 5, I am a man of unclean lips. Now, I want to take just a minute. If you have your Bible, turn to James. If you would, turn to James. I want you to see James chapter number 2. James chapter 2. I want you to see, or chapter 3, I'm sorry. Verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters. I don't want you to be in charge. I want you to be a servant. Knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. He said, when I put you in charge of something, you have more responsibilities. And then he begins to give us the one spot that it seems like we have the most trouble, and it is the spot in our lives that if we give it to the Lord, we have hope that we can one day get rid of pride and see ourselves. Notice what he says. Verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. You know what he's saying? This tongue is the key to a surrendered heart. If you can give up your tongue, the control of your tongue, if you can say, Lord, I won't say the things that I want to say. I know that person pushes my buttons, and I know I want to say this and say that. Let your speech be always with grace, That's the surrender of a Christian. Always say the right thing. Lord, I will always say the right thing. He says, look, that man's a perfect man. That man's a mature man. Tell us. It is one that is surrendered to the Lord and will do the right thing always. Now, when you say do the right things always, if he does make a mistake with his tongue, he immediately corrects it. I want you to notice, if you would. He says, if you can control your tongue, then you can be a surrendered servant. Look what he says. Keep in mind, take note of it. Look at James chapter 3, verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. We turn about their whole body. Verse 4, behold also the ships, which though be these so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever he goeth. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know what it says? You know what he's trying to say? Look in verse number 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So you know what he's saying? Give your tongue over to the Lord. There's hope you can be surrendered. Do you say the right things? Do you react the right way when somebody challenges you? When somebody offends you? When somebody hurts you? What are your words? He said, look, the tongue is a fire. If you can control your tongue, you can control everything. Now, I've never seen a horse put a bit in his own mouth. But that's what the Lord's letting say. Lord, you put the bit in my mouth. Lord, you help me to do the right thing. Dear Holy Spirit, you take charge of my life. I want you to guide my steps. I surrender. Have you surrendered your tongue today? Your words. Things that you say. He said, that's the beginning. Now, let's go back to Isaiah. Notice he says, number one, you got to see the Savior. Number two, you got to see yourself. He says in verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. There it is. He said, I see it. I'm a man of unclean lips. I say the wrong things when I shouldn't. And so he says, okay, look, I've got to get rid of my lips, my own fleshly desire to say things. I'll surrender my tongue, Lord. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. All of us have to understand that. It's in our nature to fire back with our tongues. But he says, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I see it when I see the Lord. I see myself. Have you seen yourself? Have I seen myself in the mirror of God's word? That I have to give my tongue to the Lord. Or I surrender. You know, heard a story of a pastor. He didn't follow this guidance. A woman came forward that was the church gossip. And she came forward and said, Lord, dear pastor, I want to give my tongue to the Lord. And he says, well, the altar is only 32 feet long, but you can try. Now, obviously, he shouldn't have said that. But again, we get in a position sometimes where we say things and we look at it. If we see the Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm going to be careful, Lord. Now, watch what he says. And then you got to see a Savior, see yourself, but then you got to see sinners. Notice, if you would, in verse 5, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. You got to realize that people around you don't control their tongues, but they may not be going to, they're not in an effort trying to see the Savior. They're not trying to see themselves as undone. So he says, look, I've got to take care of me. I've got to watch out. I've got to see there are people out there that I can help. I can be a blessing to. I want to show people Christ. How do we do that? By controlling our tongues. When somebody says something to us, that we don't like, commonly people fire back. And he's saying, look, you cannot ever get to the point where you can totally surrender and say, here am I, send me. Unless you can take your tongue, lay it on the altar and say, Lord, I'm unclean lips. And I live with the people that are unclean lips. Lord, help me to do what's right, even though they don't. He's recognizing that. You got to see sinners. You got to realize that people around you are going to incite you. They're going to say things and do things to you because it's natural. They're fleshly. A wife is going to say things. A husband is going to say things. But if you want a spiritual marriage, you're going to have to say, Lord, I surrender. That's what stops it. Somebody surrenders. Brothers and sisters fuss and fight, and one of them says, I surrender. And the fighting stops. Why? They saw themselves. I'm going to control my tongue. I'm not going to say the things. I see people around me. I know we all struggle with it. I'm in a world of sinners, but they're not going to affect my lips. Lord, I surrender. Do you understand how hard that is? That's reading, there's very few people that ever get to verse 8 of Isaiah. Very few people get to verse 1, I see the Lord. Even fewer people get to, I see myself. Now, all of us see we live in sin amongst sinners. We can see that. But do you see that sinners are important to the Lord? I got into conviction a while back. Matthew chapter 9, the Bible says, the Lord looked out and saw the fields white unto harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. And I didn't do that faithfully. So put it on my prayer list. Every day, Lord, send more people into service of you. Lord, cause more people to surrender. And I begin to realize, well, if people are going to surrender, they have to, if they're going to go into the service of the Lord, if they're going to be a Sunday school teacher, if they're going to get involved in the choir, if they're going to surrender, if they're going to be a nursery worker, they got to surrender. Lord, here I am, I'm yours. Anything you do for the Lord, you have to surrender if you want the blessings of God upon your life. Here am I, send me. I'm just reminded as I look in this passage, notice if you would, in verse number six, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. So in other words, here's an angel that goes with the tongues and takes a live coal, it's burning red, off the altar, and he brings it someplace. Now notice what happens. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. You and I need to say, Lord, would you purge my lips? Lord, would you forgive me what I've said and protect me from what I could say? And the Lord sends an angel, gets red hot coal, put it on our tongue, and erases all of our past and helps us. And then we can say, now notice what happens. Verse 7, last part, and thy sin is purged. And then notice verse 8. Verse 8 comes after verse 7. Thy sin is purged. Your tongue is clean. I heard the voice of the Lord. The Lord called out, but he didn't call out until he saw the Lord, saw himself, saw sinners, and said, Lord, fix my lips. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Who's going to represent me? Who's going to represent heaven at your workplace? At your school, at your home? Who's going to represent heaven? Who's going to represent the Lord? Folks, today, this is the key ingredient to all of us in this room, being a valuable servant to the Lord. Our value is not in our jobs. Oh, it may be in this life, and it may give you and I some satisfaction, but the great Christians get their satisfaction from the Lord. Lord, I am yours. I surrender. would you use me? Did you notice that the word of God, the words of the Lord, he did not call Isaiah at the beginning. He only called him when he saw the Lord, when he realized, he saw himself, I'm undone. He saw sinners. He saw his own tongue. He said, Lord, would you fix what I say? Lord, would you fix it? And the Lord sent an angel with tongues of fire and put it on his tongue. That's what he wanted. And then the Lord says, who'll go for me? And notice the response. Look in verse number 8. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Now, you have to realize Isaiah had a very difficult job. He was going to go preach to a people that would not hear. You know what that's saying? Just do what's right and don't worry about the results. Treat your wife right, don't worry about the results. Treat your husband right, don't worry about the results. Treat your children right, don't worry about it. Treat your brother and sister right. The results are in the hands of the Lord. You and I are always trying to make things work. We're Americans. We want to fix things. We want to make things work. We want to get things right. The house that I was building for my wife, probably 10 years ago, there's a big window in the front of it. And my wife loved windows. If she could have had a house that was all glass, that would have been fine with her. She just loved windows. And so the front of the house, you drove up, there was this huge window, like 8 or 10 feet tall and 6 feet wide. It was one window. And the brick masons went around it, but they didn't put a piece of trim around it. They left the brick about that far out. And they said, we can't find anything that works. And I can remember laying awake at night, Lord, what's going to work around that window? That's not my job. I mean, I was the builder, but there should be a carpenter, a framer, a trim carpenter, a brick. Somebody should know what it goes around that window and makes it work. You know, it's a curved arch and everything you put up there will break. I said, you know, we don't know what to do. So I remember praying. And that's the house I got high blood pressure on. I worried about it. Until I said, Lord, please help me. Now, you know what it told me? Two things. Number one, I need the Lord in every little stinking thing in my life. But number two, he's interested in every little thing in my life if I give it to him. So one night, I don't know when it was, but I remember it was late at night, almost past dark. The scaffolding was still up. They couldn't get anything to work. They were almost to the top. And I got to thinking, and I said, Lord, well, the Lord put it on my heart about a, you know, plastic trim. So I went and got a piece of plastic, ripped it up that was that wide to see if it would fit. And if you took it and you held it, it would snap. But I began to put it on that thing a little bit at a time and stuffed it in a little bit of time around that window all the way up. Now keep in mind, this is dark. I got a flashlight. I'm out by myself on a scaffold. And that's dumb in the first place. But it was like, Lord, this is important. Could you help me get this done? I couldn't move Susan into the house till I got finished. It just seemed like everything was holding it up. I had a lock on the elevator that I couldn't figure out what the inspector wanted. For 1 month, the house was finished, but I couldn't get Susan in it because the doorknob was wrong. He wanted a self-locking doorknob. And I said, what is that? I go to different people. I've never seen that. I don't know what that is. And I had to have a key to it. It was on the elevator room so that no one could get in without a key, and it automatically locked whenever you closed the door. That was, I forget how many $100 I had to go to some locksmith and finally get one of those. So between those two things, I ended up getting high blood pressure, I think. But each time I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, could you help me? Lord, please. Each time the answer came. But I had to totally surrender. So, Lord, this is not going to get done because it's over my head. I've learned that the ministry is not going to get done right unless I say, Lord, I see you. I can never measure up. I see myself. I have no value except in you. And I see the people around me. It's always going to be difficult to do what's right because there's very little help in seeing people that are totally surrendered. But that's what a church family is supposed to be for. But it only happens when you and I say, fix my lips. I'm yours. Father, would you bless today? I pray that you'd help us to see from a small passage of Scripture that which could change our lives and make us useful in your sight. In your name we pray. Amen.